Good morning.
Evening.
If you would, take your Bibles and turn to two different passages of Scripture this morning. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25 and also Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And since we've got on the subject of the Word of God this morning, I do have to make a comment. It's one of those things that has never been clear to me. If they don't believe the King James Bible is inerrant, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you don't believe you have every word of God, I mean, how can you live by it? Amen. So their logic is just pure junk. Pure junk. All right. One of my favorite Bible verses in the Word of God is John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Amen and amen. From the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How do I know that? Because Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created." All the way to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the Scripture testifies to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we have a perfect example here before us in Exodus chapter 25. We're going to see a detailed view of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a type of the work that He does for us specifically in providing security for the believer. So that's what we're going to see this morning. Now, very quickly, before I get into this, it is worth mentioning that there are three arks mentioned in the Word of God. First of all, there's Noah's ark. God came to Noah and said, "I want you to build an ark. I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to exercise judgment upon this earth because of the wickedness that's going on in this world." So Noah built the ark, and then he and his family entered into the ark before the judgment of God came. The judgment of God came, he flooded the earth, and Noah and his family were what? Safe. So that ark is an ark of safety. Amen. But then the second ark is found in Exodus chapter 2. Pharaoh issued a decree that all the male children should be killed. Well, Moses' mother wasn't about to do that, so she made him an ark of bulrushes. And once she made that ark, she put Moses in it, and she put him down in the river, hoping that Pharaoh's daughter would hear him or see him. And sure enough, she did. And so there again, the ark of bulrushes was an ark of safety. Amen. Now, as we look at the Scripture this morning, we're going to see that this ark of the covenant is an ark of safety. There are some special items that have been put into it, and they were kept safe. Amen. So today, as we look at this Scripture, really what Jesus wants you to see is that He is the Ark of Safety. Now, let's look at a few verses of Scripture here. Exodus 25, beginning in verse 10. Now, this, you know, it's funny. I remember being young, and I see young people sitting in the church today. A verse of Scripture like this in my youth would have been boring to me. But hopefully today it won't be boring once you get some understanding of what's being said here. All right, Exodus 25, verse 10. The Bible says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." Now look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 9. Just one verse of Scripture here, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. In Exodus 25, we just saw what God described as the Ark of the Covenant. And He said, there's going to be some things I want you to put into it. And then here in Hebrews 9, verse 4, we find out what those things are. It says, "Which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you this morning. I thank you for those who are faithful to your house today, Lord. I do thank you for the Word of God, as we've been mentioning this morning. Thank you for the perfect preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. Lord, I do thank you for it so that I can stand up here today and preach it with boldness and authority, Lord, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that this Word is true. But Lord, I'd like to move on, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you'd speak through me in the power of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, use me to show people Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, for the Scriptures do testify of Him. But Lord, more importantly, I ask that you would show us the work, one of the works that you've done for us, not only that you died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, but Lord, that you provide security for us. Amen and amen. Let's go. Thank you so much. All right, I got a question for you this morning. Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Amen.
It's wonderful to be saved because I'm free from the power of sin. Sin has no power over me. If sin has power over me, it's because I've given it to Him. Amen. I'll tell you something else. I'm free from the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty for me when He died on the cross of Calvary. That's why I love to sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. Here's another question for you. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're saved? Folks, I got news for you. Salvation is not a guessing game. It's not a gamble. It's not, well, the Christians look like they have it right. Let me try that one on for size. That's not what salvation's all about. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, with that being said, I have one more question for you. Isn't it nice to know that you are forever saved? There's coming a day when I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to stand in His righteousness. Amen. No guilt, no shame. No guilt, no shame. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my ark of safety. Now, there's people out there that would try to convince you that you can lose your salvation. And I remember when I started to try to attend church faithfully back in the year 2000, 2001, I heard a preacher on the radio use 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 21 to tell me that I could lose my salvation. And I got to be honest with you, it scared me to death. Amen. So, well, I know Jesus is Lord. I know that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins, but this guy's telling me, using the Word of God, that I can lose my salvation. So I did what any good Bible-believing Christian ought to do, and went to the Word. And I studied it out, and I found out it wasn't talking about those who had been saved. Amen. Friends, here's the good thing. You cannot lose your salvation, and we're going to see that from the Word of God this morning. Jesus is your ark of safety. Now, we're going to discuss two things this morning. First of all, as we look at the book of Exodus chapter 25, I want you to see that Jesus is that ark. Jesus is that ark. Look with me, if you would, at verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Everything that's described here in regards to the Ark of the Covenant describes a part or the person of Jesus Christ. For instance, it says, you shall make an ark out of shittim wood. Did you know that a righteous man is compared to wood in the Word of God? In fact, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, the Bible says this of Jesus Christ, that he is a root out of dry ground. Now, friends, when I go back and I look here at verse 10, what we're seeing here is that we're seeing a picture of the humanity of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. It's no accident that he's compared to shittim wood. And by the way, I hate to say that word. It disturbs me for whatever reason. It's a Bible word, but I'm afraid I'm going to pronounce it wrong and say something I shouldn't say in the pulpit. So from here on out, I'm going to call it acacia wood because that's what it is. Amen. That's what we call it today. It's called acacia wood. All right. It's no accident that he used acacia wood to describe this. Let me give you two reasons why. First of all, acacia wood was pierced to reveal medicinal properties. In the evening time, they'd go out and they'd stick a little tube into the tree. They'd hammer it in, and a gummy substance would come out. It's called gum arabic today. But that medicinal substance could be used to take care of skin wounds. You could even put it in a drink and take it for dietary reasons. So too was Jesus Christ crucified. So too was Jesus Christ pierced, that his medicinal property might come out. And that medicinal property is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That blood heals the sin-sick person. It's his blood that healed me. Amen. Praise God for it. I know a lot of times we ignore the fact that the Bible teaches us in 1 John that in him there is no sin. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not a sinner before the throne of God because I've had that sin washed away.
Amen.
By the blood of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. So the acacia wood was pierced just like Jesus Christ was pierced, and the stuff that came out healed a body. Secondly, the acacia wood never rotted. An acacia tree could have bugs inhabit it, and the wood still wouldn't rot. You could take that wood and you could put it in some water and let it soak up for 2 or 3 days and bring it out of the water, and it still would not rot. Friends, this speaks of the sinless
that's
nature
right.
of our
Amen.
Lord and Savior, Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's right.
Jesus did not sin. He could not sin. I was actually going to preach on that, so it's been kind of fresh in my mind. Many of you may have heard of Nestorianism. Have you ever heard of that? Nestorianism is the belief that Jesus could have sinned if he wanted to. I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. Because if we say that Jesus could have sinned, we're saying that he really wasn't God. We're saying that God took a gamble on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about all the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament? What about the prophecy about him being born in Bethlehem? Did God really take a gamble on sending his son into this world? Absolutely not.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:15 says, "And we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin."
Amen.
1 John 3:5 says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins." Watch this. "And in him is no
Amen.
Sin."
Amen.
So number one, as we look at verse 10, we see the humanity of Christ. He was pierced to take away our sins. And my friends, he had a sinless nature, which made him eligible to be the supreme sacrifice for us. But now look, if you would, at verse 11. We'll see something else about the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about it." Friends, gold in the Bible represents deity. When the wise men came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why? Because Jesus was King of the Jews. Amen? Jesus is the coming King. Praise God for that. But friends, the thing that I want to express to you is that Jesus Christ was not just an ordinary man. You know, there are people in this world who believe that Jesus was an exceptional man. You know, the Muslims believe that. They'll tell you face to face, Jesus was a prophet, and he was. Amen? I got to tell you this story, and we'll move on. But for whatever reason, you know, we have that Christian school, Gateway Christian Schools, that's one of the ministries of Gateway Baptist Church. And we have Muslims who enroll in our school. It defies all logic. I don't get it, but they do. They have to do our curriculum, and all of our curriculum has Bible verses in it. They have to take Bible before they graduate and whatnot. But one day I was coming through one of our offices. I forget what this office is in particular, but I just happened to go through there, and I had a Bible in my hand. And there's this little Muslim girl talking to one of our staff members. And she said, "We believe that Jesus is a prophet." And immediately, you know, I'm tuned into this conversation. And she says, "But we don't believe he's God." And so I walked over there. I said, "You believe Jesus is a prophet?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Would a prophet tell a lie?" She said, "Oh, no. He wouldn't tell a lie. He has to speak what God tells him to speak." I said, "I'm glad you said that. Now, you believe Jesus is a prophet?" And she said, "Yes." So I took her to John chapter 14, verse 6. I said, "Now, let's see what Jesus had to say. Jesus saith unto him," and I said, "Now, who's Jesus?" And she said, "A prophet." I said, "Would Jesus lie?" "No, no, no." I said, "Okay, let's read the rest of the verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. I said, now, why did Jesus say that? And she looked at me. She said, well, what does that mean? And as soon as she said that, her dad came in the side door and everybody was trying to, you know, you don't want to get her beat up. You don't want to get her beat up. So I left her alone. I said, honey, you just keep working hard. You'll make good grades. You know, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus was more than an ordinary man. He was God in the flesh. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Friends, we see the humanity of Jesus in the Ark of the Covenant. We also see the deity of Jesus in the Ark of the Covenant. Looking down at the bottom part of verse 11, we see something else. And I've already kind of mentioned this. But it says, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about it. Friends, that's because Jesus Christ is the eternal King. Amen. He really is. He was King of the Jews, but they rejected him. They crucified him. But one day he's coming again. He's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He is the eternal King. Revelation says this. In 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we see his sovereignty. That's what we see. We see his sovereignty. Now look, if you would, at verse 12. I'm trying to get along here because I really want to get into the security that he provides. But in verse 12 it says, and thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it. Talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Now, numbers in the Word of God have meaning. One is unity. For the Lord our God is what? One Lord. Amen. Two is for the number of witness. If you're going to make an accusation against somebody, you've got to have 2 witnesses. Amen. Jesus said, for where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The number 3 is for divinity, for there are 3 that bear record in heaven. Amen. 1 John 5:7. But then 4 is the number of the earth. 4 is the number of the earth. Revelation 7:1 says this, and after these things I saw the 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now friends, when I think about the 4 corners of the earth, I am reminded of the 4 corners on this Ark of the Covenant. And when I think about the 4 corners on the Ark of the Covenant, I am reminded of the sufficiency of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Friends, he offered up his body once for all men. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:9 that he tasted death for some men, only the elect. He said he tasted death for every man, for every man. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Friends, we see the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Let me show you one more thing, and then we'll move on into the security that Jesus Christ provides. Look down at verse 13. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. The staves were put into the 4 rings of the covenant, and the priests would bear that covenant on their shoulders, and that's how they traveled around. The tabernacle was meant to be moved. And the message is that wherever you went, God was going to be with you. Amen? Amen. You know what that says? Says about Jesus? It says that he's always available for you.
Amen.
And you might be a lost person. Jesus is available to you right now if you'll call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. If you're saved, Jesus is available for you right now. You know, I think about how many times inadvertently we're left alone. Sometimes you got to drive to work alone. Your wife and your child's not with you, but guess who is? Jesus Christ is with you. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My friends, that's Jesus Christ. He's always there, always there. All right, so looking at the Ark of the Covenant, the first thing we see is the person of Jesus Christ. Number 2, looking at the Ark of the Covenant, if you would look back over at Hebrews 9, I hope you kept that spot there. But looking at the Ark of the Covenant, we also see the work of Jesus Christ, in particular, the security that he provides for the believer. Again, it gets me excited to know I'm forever saved. I'm not just saved, I'm forever saved. And that's what we're going to see here. Hebrews 9, verse 4, once again says this, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. Now, these three items represent three different ways that we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we are secure in His life. The first item that's mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4 is the golden pot with manna in it. You may remember that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they ran out of food and they got hungry. They said, would to God that we should perish, or that we should have stayed in Egypt, because you've brought us out here that we might die. No, He didn't bring you out there so that you might die. He brought you out there so that He might preserve your life and have fellowship with you. Friends, God didn't bring you out of this world. He didn't free you from the power of sin and the penalty of sin so that you might die later on. He brought you out that He might preserve you so that He might have continued fellowship with you. Now, there's two things I want to point out about that golden pot with manna in it. First of all, that gold represents what? Deity. So that means that that pot of manna was sent from God. After the children of Israel complained about being hungry, God said, I will rain bread down from heaven. Amen. And the Bible concurs the same truth about Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. In John 3, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world. Amen. Jesus was sent. Jesus was given to us. Praise the Lord for that. But then there's something else I want you to notice about that. It was a golden pot of manna. It's true, if the children of Israel did not eat, they would die. If you don't eat, you'll die. Amen? But God gave them the life that they needed. When they picked up that manna every single morning, except for the Sabbath day, it preserved their body. Amen? It preserved their body. Jesus is your preservation. John chapter 6, verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 28, I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. We are secure in His life. Take your Bibles and look, if you would, at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to show you a special verse. And by the way, the book of Colossians is a great book to teach eternal security. There's just so much there. But looking at that golden pot of manna, you see that it was given by God and it's preserved by God. I want you to see that in Colossians chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, watch this, and your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. You are safe in the ark of safety. Jesus Christ is your safety. Verse 3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, here it is, who is? He is our life. Not your life, it's His life. Amen. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen, that's right. You couldn't lose it if you wanted to, because it doesn't belong to you. Amen. You can't give it away, you can't lose it, and nobody can take it from you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know? Folks, we are secure in His life. Number two, looking back at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. And to be honest with you, I never really thought about this until I studied for this message. But the second item that was inside of the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod that budded. Now let me give you a little background on that. In Numbers chapter 16, the children of Israel began to rebel against Moses and Aaron's authority. God sent a plague among them and killed thousands of them. But in Numbers chapter 17, He says, here's what I want you to do to show you who I've put over you. He said, I want you to take a rod that represents every tribe of the children of Israel. I want you to inscribe your name on it, and then I want you to go and I want you to put it in the Holy of Holies right before the Ark of the Covenant, and let's see what happens. Well, that's what they did, and they went in the very next day, and Aaron's rod budded. Now, friends, we're talking about a dead stick. It's dead. It's dead, but then when they came in the very next day, it had blossoms all over it. It grew almonds. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of our resurrection in Jesus Christ. It's a picture of His resurrection. And because He's risen from the dead, we'll rise with Him. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It's a very important passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." I appreciate that message that Brother Larry preached last night. Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death?" Praise the Lord for that. "Therefore we are buried with Him." So there's His death and His burial. "With Him into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Friends, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, you can count on two special resurrections in your life. First of all, you can count on that spiritual resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. But then you can count on that physical resurrection. And I believe that day is coming very soon. I believe that day is coming very soon. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Friends, I look forward to that day. We are secure in His life. We are secure in His resurrection. But then thirdly, we are secure in His righteousness. Look back again at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. "Wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant." The tables of the covenant represented the righteousness that God requires for a man to stand before Him. You know what? I can't stand in my own righteousness before God. Because all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's not good enough. But thank God, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He imputed to me His righteousness. I have His righteousness. That gets me excited. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Romans chapter 10, verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Friends, I look forward to standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, I'll be able to stand before God Almighty in the righteousness of my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, friends, what did we learn from the Ark of the Covenant this morning? We learned about the person of Jesus Christ. We learned about His humanity, His deity, His sovereignty, His sufficiency, and His availability. But we also learned about the work of Jesus Christ. He provides security for the believer. Friends, if you're saved today, you have every reason to hope in the life that He's given you. The question I have to ask you is, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Ark of Safety, He is, are you living with that hope and that comfort and that motivation that it provides? Do you live every single day through thick and thin thinking, "I'm saved forever and ever"? Amen. You know, in our church over the last few years, we've experienced an untold number of deaths. I've preached more funerals than weddings. I've preached more funerals than I have graduation ceremonies. It's a sad, sad thing. But friends, one of the greatest comforts that you can have during a time of death is knowing that you are saved forever and ever and ever. Just like David said, "I shall go to Him." Friends, one day we're going to go see Jesus, but we're also going to go see those loved ones who've passed on before us. Amen. So are you living with that joy in your heart, that peace, and that comfort that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is your Ark of Safety? Now, one more thing, and then I'll close in prayer. He's your Ark of Safety. What does He save you from? He saves you from the wrath of God. See, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't want to experience the wrath of God. I've seen plenty of examples in the Word of God. I know what it's like. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He'll save you from that wrath. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the message that you shared with us this morning. God, thank you for that ark of safety, Jesus Christ, God the Son. Lord, I pray everyone that's here today knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But if not, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name.